filled with sorrow and care. Hearts are lonely and gray. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Is very near. Cast your care on Jesus today. Leave your worry and fear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary, burdens are lifted at Calvary, Jesus is very near. Troubled soul, the Savior can see, every heartache and tear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near.
Two, higher ground.
Sing on the upward way. I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. My faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane. Feet on higher ground. With all these are to stay, where doubts arise and fear dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. Faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found, or plant my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world, no Satan's starts at me a hurl, for faith has joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. My faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found, or plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale a glory bright, but still I'll pray till heaven I find.
Good morning, everyone. Wow, so beautiful. Praise the Lord. We can do this again. I was wondering what it was going to look like when I came here this morning. And it's a joy to see the hunger of God's children. To God be the glory and praise to Him. So this morning I greet you with the words out of the book of Galatians, where Paul says, "Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." This God that Paul is talking about is the God that will receive the glory forever and ever. It will never fade away. It will always stay. When I look around and the joy to see your smiles on your face and just your presence here gives me a total different feeling than standing here on a Sunday morning and preaching to the sound men, which is good too, sound men, don't get me wrong, but it feels different. As much as you maybe were at home praying for the Lord to bless the one speaking, your presence has a much deeper value and a much stronger power. Thank you for coming. Today morning, I want to start off with, you've maybe heard in a few of my sermons in the past, I spoke about heaven. Heaven is real. Heaven is a place that is prepared for all of those that are born again. Those that have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, repented, turned from their wicked ways. They have that eternal life prepared for them in heaven. Jesus is there right now doing that. Today I was thinking, as I was preparing this message, oh son, this morning it came to me and I thought to myself, oh wow, what am I doing? This is the first Sunday that I'm going to be preaching with the congregation back in church. Today morning will be a message that maybe we don't want to hear, but it's the truth. Heaven is real. But I want to tell you this morning, hell is real. Hell is real. There's a place for those that have not accepted Jesus Christ. There's a place prepared and be everlasting damnation called hell. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus has a great opportunity. He's standing by the mount. He has a multitude in front of him in the mountain, a huge multitude. They're sitting there, they're listening to Jesus preaching. As we refer to Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus is preaching, and he starts off with his preaching, "Blessed are those, blessed are they," and so on and so forth. The ones that do certain things, they're blessed. And there are those that will inherit, the ones that are meek. Blessed, verse 5, "Blessed are they, are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." And he goes on. But as he goes on through his sermon, speaking to them in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus lays out that there's a difference in two different ways. In Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14, these are the words of Jesus. And this is what he says. He says, "Enter ye in the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there are, there be that find it." What is Jesus saying? What is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying there's an end to life. And at the end of life, there are two entrance gates. One of those gates are wide, and one of those gates are narrow. Which one are you and I walking up toward? Which one have we chosen to take? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning, these words of yours, O God, that your Son Jesus had left here on earth has been recorded for us today to read, to proclaim. And you're encouraging us through this that we are to find that straight gate and warning us it's going to be narrow, it's going to be tight, but it leads to life. And then when I think of the words that Jesus says, the end of verse 14, few there be that find it. Lord, today, I pray that as you have laid this message on my heart, I pray that you will prick even just as much as one person to change from their wicked way. If they are still living in sin, Lord, that they will find themselves choosing the straight and the narrow way that leads to life. Many, many have chosen the wide gate. It's easier to get in, but it leads to destruction. Lord, I pray that this morning the message would be an edification to every one of your children. May build us, may remind us that there are two destinations and they are real. Lord, bless this hour to your will. I also pray for everyone that's present here. Bless them for coming. Pray for those that are listening, Lord, that you would bless them also. And just give them the strength that they need. As many of them may not be able to be here today. Not just because of maybe the number of the allowed into church, but because of health. We pray for them strength and courage. Bless this hour to your will, and not just this hour, but also in the days of life that we have. In your precious name we pray. Amen. As I said, Jesus is talking about a broad and a narrow way. So there are two entrance gates. One leads to destruction, as I said. The other one leads to life eternal. There are two roads that are in past these gates. One is wide and one is narrow. There are two groups of travelers. One that has many on it, and one that has few on it. There are two ends. One leading to fire, everlasting, to destruction, and the other one to heaven. As in the last while, as I said, I have spoken on heaven, and I want to go back to Revelations 21. Revelations 21, verse 1. John records what he saw. And he says in Revelations 21, verses 1 and on, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I saw, John, pardon me, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And then I heard a voice, a great voice, out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall, not maybe, but they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God.'" And what God will do then? It says in God, verse 4, says, "Shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And then it says, and he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. True and faithful. When they are true and when they are faithful, they will be held. It will not change. Our God is a faithful God, and he will keep his end, what he promises. And then in verse 6, it says, And he said unto them, It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of life, fountain of the water of life, freely. You do not have to pay for it. You do not have to buy it. It is free. Just receive it. Accept it. Believe it. Receive it. And then in verse 7, He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. It's a promise for those that have taken the decision to take that narrow gate, to take the straight and narrow. The word straight, the way it's spelt in the Bible, is a definition of narrow. It's a tight place. It's not wide. Jesus, though warned about hell, we speak so many times maybe about how great it will be in eternity. But I was reminded by the Spirit, Cal, you have now preached on heaven. You need to now preach on hell too, for it's real. So, this morning, I want us to turn back to the book of Matthew and go through some verses as to what Jesus said about hell that is to come. Matthew chapter 3, verse 10, we can find verses about what John the Baptist already forewarned people about. In Matthew 3, verse 7, John says this, But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? He's asking them a question. Who has warned you from that wrath that will come? And he's looking at them and he's wondering, why are you coming? They're just coming for the baptism, but he doesn't see a change in their heart. And I want to say this morning, that is my same concern. How many of us have taken baptism in our past and took it because it was tradition? Maybe there's still some today that have taken baptism and never changed their heart and fully accepted Jesus Christ. Then I'm reminded of what Paul says here. He says in verse 8, Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. Something that matches it, that there's actually a visual thing or that they can see and that we know that you have changed your life. There is an actual change. Bring some fruit forth that meets that repentance in order for you to be baptized. And then he says, And think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. John is warning them. And he's asking them, How are you coming? How are you prepared? Today, I would like to say, when I look at this and read this, I'm thinking, they want to stay on that wide path. They want to enjoy the life of the wide path, but they still want to have some of what God wants to offer, and that is baptism. That doesn't meet. That doesn't match. That doesn't connect with repentance. doesn't connect with the truth. John goes on and he preaches to them further, to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He says, I indeed, verse 11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is not mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Could they comprehend this? Can we comprehend that? At the end of the last day, he's referring this of taking that pile of wheat and taking a fan in the hand. And the fan in those days, in order for them to take the chaff out of the wheat, we have different things nowadays that we can use. But they would wait for a breezy day, and their fan was like a shovel, but their shovel, they could scoop up the grain, but it was enough room between the shovel, it would look kind of like if you took your fingers, and you would shovel it up, and you would throw it in the air, and as you would throw it in the air, the wind would take that chaff away, and the wheat would fall, and they would keep on doing that until the chaff was all one side. They would clean up the wheat, and then they would burn the chaff. And so he refers to this as the example of the farmers, what they would do when they would clean up their wheat to remove the chaff. And he tells them, this is what's going to happen. And the chaff will be in an unquenchable fire. There's no person that could stop that. Now Jesus' words. Matthew 5, verse 22. Jesus says, verse 21, first of all, he says, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. And then Jesus says, but I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. As I read this, I had to ask myself, where do I fall into this situation? Where do I come short? Has there been a time where I've been angry with my brother? And the brother may not be just your blood brother, your brother in Christ, we could say. We're in danger of judgment if we don't make it right. And then he says, and whosoever shall say to his brother Raca shall be in danger of the council. But then much stronger at the end he says, but whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Today, I have a question. How many of us, during this COVID time, have called one or the other a fool? How many of us thought that when we said that? That we felt maybe one of the congregation members are a fool for what they're doing. And maybe as the members, maybe you say that of your pastors. And you're saying your pastor is a fool. These are Jesus' words. And he says, when we say this, thou fool, we shall be in danger of hellfire. Matthew 5, verse 29. He goes on and he says, if the right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Is there something that is in our way that is standing in our way that we could not go into eternity, he's saying, chop it off. Get rid of it. Take it away from you so that you don't have to perish totally. He refers to that again in verse 30. If thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. I believe when I read these words, and I just think of how Jesus had such an opportunity to stand in such a front of such a crowd, and he was bold, and he warned them. For mankind, it's different. And though we are to be just as bold to warn one another. And when I speak about this, I also speak to myself, warning myself. How do I live? What example am I? Do I show the way? Am I leading people into the right gate and on the narrow path that leads to life everlasting? Am I taking people and showing them the way of the wide gate, the wide way that leads to life destruction? Matthew 7, Jesus in verse 13 and 14, as I read, talks about that gate. Then he goes on in verse 19, he says, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Didn't I just speak about John the Baptist saying, where's your fruit of repentance? Where's proof that you have changed? Oh, we've changed, but we don't want to work for God. We don't want to do his work at all. We just want to sit in the benches and just enjoy the message and go home and go on with our life the way we had our life before. But we've been in church. John speaks about the fruit of repentance. Jesus asks, wherefore by their fruits ye shall be known. Verse 20, pardon me. He states, you shall be known by your fruit. And the one that don't bring forth good fruit, as verse 19, as I said, will be cast into the fire. And then in verse 21, he says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Strong words by Jesus. Many, many will probably go out and say, Lord, did we not do this in your name? Lord, did we not do that in your name? Jesus will say, I don't know you. I don't know you. Matthew 8, verse 12 says, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into utter darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Those that live in the world and for the world, those children will be thrown out into utter darkness. I often think of hell as a dark place. No light, the light being taken away. The glory of the God in heaven is going to be the light for those that live for the Lord and taken into heaven. They will have the glory shining around them day. There will be no time. Forever, that'll be the light, will be God himself. But in hell, I see it as a dark place. I do not see the flames that we often see that will give light. I do not understand it, that the flames will be the light, but it'll be dark. As Jesus says, cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There's many that may say, I know, but why are you speaking about this? Many may think that I know there's a difference, but why are you speaking about this today? And they may feel very uncomfortable. Jesus spoke many places. We find in Matthew 8, verse 28 and 29. It says that when he was come to the other side, into the country of the Gergesians, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" They already felt, these devils, they already felt that Jesus was already coming to give them the torment before the time of destruction, before the time of the end of life. They already felt it there. They're asking him, "Are you already come now? Before the time?" You see, James, in James chapter 2, verse 19, tells us that even the devil, they believe and they tremble. They believe there's a God, for they tremble. They also tremble that they know that it is destruction coming before the time, when the time will be fulfilled. Why not change? We know that. You know that. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ, today I want you to know, today is a day, not tomorrow. Today, while you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. There is a difference in one's heaven and one's hell. Only two destinations. Only two gates. Only two roads. Which group of people are you with? Are you walking with a few? Or are you walking with many? There's many more verses that Jesus talks about heaven and hell. And as I can see, there's no way I would be able to take all of them through, and I didn't have intention to take through them all this morning. But there's a lot that Jesus does speak about, and Jesus uses parables. In Matthew 13, he uses various parables towards the end of time. He also talks about someone going out to sea. And when I reread Matthew 13, the first verses of the sower, how he goes out to seed, and I'm reminded myself, when I go out to seed, I want to see something happen. When I put that seed in the ground, I want that to grow. And don't we all? When you put seed in your garden, don't you want that to grow? Yes, you do. You want to see something, and later on, you go on a week later, and it's not growing. You start digging, wondering, what's happened? Oh, maybe we didn't get the rain. Maybe the moisture didn't hit it. Or maybe one of those kernels accidentally, they were dropped on a stone. You know, Jesus here in Matthew 13 is saying to us, all I want you to do is seed. I don't want you to worry about the growth of that seed. I want you to seed. And as you go out, throw it out. Some will fall on rock. Some will fall in very shallow dirt, come up and then wither away. But some will multiply. But go out and seed. Oh, and then by the way, the devil will sneak in between and he will sow tares. The tares resemble wheat very, very much. But at the end of harvest is when you know the difference between the tare and the wheat. The tare and wheat look very similar. At the end of the harvest, the tare is empty, and often if it does have a little kernel, it's a black kernel that can be poisonous. But the wheat is a heavy piece of weight. Heavy piece, a valuable weight. So he gives that example. And he tells them at the end of the time, they will be separated. They will be gathered. The one will be burnt. And the other one will be gathered into the barns. Then Jesus, in Matthew 13, as he's given that parable, he says in verse 49 to 50 these words, "So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." Wailing and gnashing of teeth. Who will be cast in the fire? The ones who are the vipers. The ones that do not bring forth meat. Fruit. Meat for repentance. That do not meet that. Towards the end, before Jesus' crucifixion, in Matthew 25, Jesus says these words in verse 41. "Then shall ye say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Jesus is warning them, there's a place that is prepared for the devil and his angels. What have we done for Christ? In that same Matthew 25, he uses examples. For those that were hungry, did somebody help them? For those that were naked, did somebody bring them clothes? And so on and so forth. Were we willing to help? In the last half a year, I've seen and heard of this home church stretching forth their hand, being willing to gather together sleeping bags and food and whatever it was to go to Winnipeg to help. God has nudged you, and God will bless you. And I want to encourage you to continue to do that. For if we don't do that, then God will say it that day, or Jesus will say to us, "I don't know you. You haven't done anything fruit worth. Maybe you took the baptism, but there was no fruit that showed that you repented." Luke chapter 12, verse 1 to 5. Luke 12. 1 to 5. It says there, "In the meantime, when they were gathered together, an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another." Can you imagine? There's so many people. They were stepping on each other. They were trampling each other down. When I read this, I just thought of how many people go to the New Year's Eve party in the cities, and they're just about trampling each other down because they want to be there at that party. But here it says there were so many, insomuch that they trod upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, "First of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid. There shall not be that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will," Jesus says, "forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him who has the power to cast into hell." Jesus, God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Fear him. Fear him. Matthew 24, verse 42 to 51. I want to say to you today, as Jesus says, Matthew 24, verse 42 to 51. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and a wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? I want to stop there a little bit. Fathers, and I see there's many here. Fathers, are we a wise servant? Do we run our household the way God would want us to? To lead our children? To lead our wife as leaders? Truthfully? Jesus asks a very strong question. Who then is a faithful and a wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? We have the meat today in this season. We have God's word in this season. It's not taken from us. He goes on, he says, blessed is that servant whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Today is the time. Today is the opportunity. Today, when we hear his voice, let's not harden our hearts. Matthew 23, verse 33. Matthew 23, verse 33. Jesus asks a question. And this question is for me and for you. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Question. How can me and you escape hell? How can we be spared from that everlasting fire? Matthew 3, verse 7. The words that John says, and I referred to them at the beginning. John says, and when Matthew 3, verse 7, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? This hit me. When I read this, I said, yes, God, I have to speak about hell. It might not be the funnest message to come back to church to, but it's truth. Hell is real. Who has warned you? Who has warned you? Are you taking that warning? You may ask, what can I do? I'm tied in this. I don't know how to get out of this. Very common verse. John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. There's an opportunity for you not to perish. Believe in the Son. He goes on in verse 18, he says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. If we do not believe in Jesus, we are condemned, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Friends, Jesus is saying, he is the way, the truth, and the life. Believe in him. You don't need to perish. John 3, verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 10, Romans 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. We confess Jesus with our mouth. We believe in our heart that God has raised him. We will be saved. Today, my question would be at the end. If we are on that straight and narrow path, are we one? We say we believe in Jesus Christ. Are we also what Paul says, one that shall confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus? Are we ones that preach Jesus when we walk and when we talk? Hell is real. Heaven is real. Which choice have you made? Where are you or I going? Revelation 20, verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Let's make sure our name is there in the book of life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning, I pray that your word would not fall on deaf ears. I'm reminded of the passage I do refer to this morning, to go out and seed, and the increase is yours. And this morning I pray, Lord, this morning as I've brought forth your word, I pray that you would increase it, multiply it, so that there could be more that would enter that narrow road, that narrow gate that leads to everlasting life. Pray this morning for my brother-in-law, Dennis Dirksen of Grunthal. Lord, as he finds himself so weak, and for his wife, Edna, and their family, it's hard to see a husband and a father getting weaker and weaker. But we pray, Lord, that you would just help them to find the joy that they have, that they can still spend together. We pray for strength further. We pray that you would just lift their spirits, and that they would just, that you would give Dennis the strength to be able to still share. If he needs an opportunity to share with his children, that he could still do that. That you would give him enough air, enough breath for that. Pray also for my dad, Lord, for further strength as he's weak too and he's losing a lot of weight. Lord, we pray that you would just help him and strengthen him too. And Mom, as they walk this road together, it's hard to see one or the other one starting to get weaker and weaker. Pray this morning for the widows, for Mrs. Mary Brown, Mrs. Martha Reimer, Mrs. Agonitha Falk, and Mrs. Agonitha Martins. And all those widows and widowers that are out there, Lord. So much they're left alone. During this time, it must be hard. And I pray, Lord, that your spirit of your love would continue to go with them so they can feel your presence, that there's somebody with them. Thank you for listening and caring. And Lord, we just pray your blessing upon everyone that's come, and that we can be a blessing to others. Amen. I want to thank you all for the coming this morning and to pray for the message this morning, and may God bless you. And I want to close with the book of Jude, verses 20 to 25. You, beloved, this morning we've built ourselves up in the most holy faith. We've been praying in the Holy Ghost, and I'm asking you to keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep on looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ right into eternal life. And now you have an opportunity. Of some, go out, have compassion. Go out, let's make a difference. And others, let's save them with fear. Let's pull them out of the fire. Let's pull them out of that way that they're going right now, and that is into hell. Let's pull them out of that fire. Let's hate their garments that are spotted by the flesh. Now unto you, unto him that is able to keep you and me from falling, and to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Thank you. You may go, but I would ask you a favor to please exit starting from the back. Thank you. You may go, but go in the peace of the Lord.